Reading from the third canto, and this is about Diti's pregnancy, which caused universal disturbance. Interestingly, how the Bhagavatam describes that there were changes in the weather, which reminded me of what's going on now. Although it was cold here, but right now the sun's shining, whatever snow was here for a little while melted. Weather's meant to go up to 8 degrees. This is in January when it's supposed to be -8 degrees and perhaps even warmer than that. And similar thing, the sun, the moon were invisible and other seasonal occurrences were out of sync, so they went to Lord Brahma for advice, and they prayed to him. So this is about the demigods' prayers to Lord Brahma. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the yogis' control of the mind and senses as a prerequisite for getting Krishna shelter. And so our class was more or less about the same topic, and as it relates to devotees. Of course, the difference between devotees controlling their mind and senses and yogis controlling their mind and senses is that we're not directly engaged in a battle, in a war with our senses and mind to try and bring them under control, as yogis and gyanis do. But rather, our principle is to engage Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti, Ruchate, is to engage the mind and the senses in service to Krishna. The results are not the same. The results that devotees get are much superior to those that non-devotees get, because the result of non-devotees is that they may be able to acquire a certain degree of control over their mind and senses, but because the cause for the disturbance of the mind and senses, which is impurities within the heart, have not been removed. Therefore, it's inevitable that at some time or another they're caught unawares and they again become the victim of their minds and senses, as we have so many examples in Srimad Bhagavatam of yogis like Shobari Muni and so on, who came to that same end. So unless the heart becomes purified, then there's no real chance of permanent control of the mind and senses. It's like if you have a horse and you catch a horse and tie him down. So good for you, the horse is tied down, but you can't really do anything with it because he's still completely out of control. But if you tame a horse, then you don't have to tie him down. Then he's he becomes a permanent asset. So the same thing with the mind and the senses in devotional service. If the heart is purified, then the mind naturally comes under the control. And the mind and senses are important in devotional service, which is, of course, another asset that we have in Krishna consciousness over the gyanis and yogis, amongst the unlimited other benefits, is that even if they sit in meditation and control their mind and senses, but they're useless as far as making any spiritual advancement is concerned, because they're not doing anything. Ultimately, spiritual life is about doing something. It's about serving Krishna. And they're not serving. They're not rendering any service, but they're meditating. So, but what do devotees do? Well, devotees are always engaged, constantly engaged in service. And, of course, that service doesn't just apply to sadhana or chanting Hare Krishna, but whatever we do by connecting our minds with Krishna, by being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and then our senses are really engaged in service, and therefore we become purified. So for devotees, all their service is sadhana, and all their sadhana is also service. There's no distinction between the two. Devotees are always engaged like that. And their hearts are thus purified. But like the yogis, and of course bhakti yoga is yoga, devotees need to be absorbed in what they're doing. They need to be hearing the holy name, they need to be seeing the deities, they need to be thinking about Krishna, they need to be conscious. We are the Krishna consciousness movement. If they're not conscious, the activities are still purifying because in some way the senses are engaged in the service, but by no means is one getting the benefit of offenseless devotional service or pure devotional service. Pramada, that means that one is inattentive to what one is doing, be it chanting Hare Krishna or any other act of devotion. And the result of that is aparad. You make advancement with nama aparad, but it's very slow. Nama aparada yuktanam. So, in that sense, we can't be too complacent and think, oh, I'm a devotee, it's okay, it doesn't apply to me. No, it very much applies to us. In the same way that the yogis have to make an effort to control their senses, similarly, we have to make an effort to control our senses. We do it in a different way. Our control of our mind and senses is absorption in the activities of devotion that we're engaged in. Cooking, bookkeeping, deity worship, book distribution, so many things that devotees are engaged in, we have to be absorbed. We have to be connected. And if we're not connected, then we will see, as it's stated here, one does not achieve Krishna's shelter. And what's the result of not achieving Krishna's shelter? Well, the verse, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that one becomes fearless. One is not afraid. Not afraid of impending death, not afraid of any development that takes place in their life, because they know Krishna is in control. If someone's Krishna conscious, then they're aware, yes, Krishna's in control. So why should I worry? I just accept whatever Krishna wants. Favorable, unfavorable, there's nothing unfavorable. These are relative considerations to think that something's good and something's not good. Dvaita badra badra gyan te manu dharma. So this is manu dharma. So yes, we can't avoid making efforts to control our mind and senses. We are extremely fortunate in that without any or very little previous engagement in spiritual life, in this life we have the opportunity to come to the highest perfection, but then we can't just be lazy thinking, well, that's all right, it's like someone gets the opportunity to go to university at an early age, and then they just neglect that opportunity. They don't take it very seriously. So no, we need to take it seriously. We are still yogis. We need to practice. And just like yogis are practicing 24 hours a day, for us, our practice is also 24 hours a day. But because our practice looks like everyday activity, then sometimes we get complacent and we think we're doing material things. But no, and Lord Brahma, when he came to his senses and was offering his prayers to Krishna, then he said, yes, it's very amazing how these Brijbasis seem to be engaged in everyday, ordinary activities, and yet by their intense love for you, because they've dedicated everything, their house, their homes, their family, their possessions, their entire lives are dedicated to you. Therefore, they're more advanced than the greatest transcendentalists. So we have the opportunity to transform ordinary activities into yoga. But if we don't transform them, if we're not absorbed properly in that transformational process, then they remain ordinary activities, or almost ordinary, as I explained before, aparadam hiyuktanam. So we should be very alert and very careful. Hare Krishna.